Thank you very much, Glenn. And thank you too for your prayers for Paul. I know we've been blessed with him and we are going to miss him. There was a joke in the car on the way here that it was his last time being at Sunday school. So he's out there helping this morning, I think. Also, may I say congratulations to those who were baptised recently. We're sorry to miss it. We were at my brother's wedding, actually, that occasion. But we do pray for you that you know the Lord's help and leading and guiding in your lives as you live for him as well. We also pray for those who are struggling with different things in life and have been struggling, those in the fellowship here. And we do want to thank you for your prayers for us as well and the things we do. It's good to be back into regular clubs again in October. Out at Carew, and also back into the Deer Park estate. We're glad to be back in there to do clubs to the young people who are up there. We're going to turn in scripture to Jonah chapter 3. We've been looking through the book of Jonah, and we're at chapter 3. While you're turning to that, or finding it, if it's helpful, it's just after Obadiah. And Obadiah's a very short book, you can miss it very easily. But Jonah chapter 3. Have you ever had a bad day? I can see quite a few smiles. Yeah, I think we know what we're talking about, don't we? A bad day. And unfortunately these days, if you have a bad day, there's usually somebody with a camera and it can be caught to be kept forever or to be seen by people online to have a good laugh and things that way. We can go into illustrations and it can be quite funny, some of them, to see. But I think of Jonah and the situation that he's in. I think, well, he must have been having a pretty bad day or a bad time. Running away from God, the storm, and then if that wasn't worth bad enough, the great fish came and swallowed him. Then the context, the previous verse, just before chapter 3, says, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Doesn't seem like you could get much worse than that, could you? Fishes vomit and there's Jonah in the middle of it. It doesn't work, does it, to run away from God, to disobey him. But in the goodness of God, he brings Jonah back and gives him a second chance that we read here in chapter 3. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go into the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Amen. Whenever we think of Jonah, if we were to ask people in the room here or elsewhere about Jonah, the first thing we might say is, well, he was swallowed by a big fish. And how is it that we remember people's failures maybe more easily and more often than actually their successes when God uses them to his glory? But here is Jonah. He was sent by God. Actually, didn't he just miss his opportunity before? Hadn't he messed up so badly that God's not going to use him again? No. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah, you've missed your opportunity. You're worthless. You're hopeless. God can never use you. No, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. God still loves Jonah. God sees usefulness in Jonah and can use him for his glory. Maybe we feel in our lives that we have messed up, that something we've done, something we've said, habits that we have, whatever it might be, and we think, well, God can't use us. I know what I'm like, and I know that I'm not worthy to be used by God. And yet God chooses to use us. Jonah seems to be the most reluctant evangelist in history, doesn't he? He's the one who doesn't want to see any converts. And yet he fails miserably at that too. Because our God overrules and changes the whole city. But God chooses to use Jonah a second time. He comes to hit the word of the Lord, comes to him a second time. The word of the Lord is an interesting phrase. It comes to the prophets. And in fact, the rabbis in Old Testament times considered something about the word to be more than just utterances, than words. But the word of the Lord came to them. And John takes this in John chapter 1. The word of the Lord, word became flesh and dwelt among us. The revelation of God, God Almighty, his words, his life, his power, his presence, and he's there coming to Jonah to speak to him, to say, look, go. So many other people in scripture we read of, don't they, have messed up. You think of Peter denying the Lord Jesus. I don't know him. I wasn't with him. And even cursed and swore. He's a follower of Jesus, or was, secretly. At that point, he's hardly a candidate to be one to proclaim the good news of the gospel on the day of Pentecost. And yet he's the one that God uses. God can still use us. Failure does not need to be final. Only if we make it so, by giving up. But God sees us as what we are, but dust, and chooses to speak to us, to call us, to commission us, to send us, to live for him in his world. Whether that's at our homes, or in our communities, in our places of work, God wants to use us for his glory. We think we've messed up, God can't use us. Yes, he can. Look at Jonah. The word of the Lord came to him a second time. Even Moses that was being thought of before, who struck the rock again, or earlier in his life had killed somebody. Surely God can't use him. And yet God in his mercy and love forgives. And he can transform and he can change and he can use. And he does that with Jonah. I wonder if you've ever said to a child, if only you would listen. Or if only you would do what you were told. I wonder if that could be said from God to Jonah. If only you would listen. If only you would do what you were told. Maybe that could be said to us. Let's listen to what God has to say to us. And let's do it. The hymn says, or the chorus of the hymn says, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. The opening line is, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Jonah, what are you going to do this time? Well, in verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and he went to Nineveh. Maybe he didn't feel God could ever use him again, but God did. God chose to speak to him. Maybe at this point, if I was Jonah, I'd be thinking, oh no, not there, not this time. Didn't you see how I messed up last time? Surely, you know, could I go somewhere else? You know, we'll sacrifice anything, but not those people, not there, not doing that. We're not told if that's what Jonah felt, but we're told that Jonah obeyed. God's way is the best way. There's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end of it is the way of death. But God can show us the path of life. And so God had told Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I give to you. And so Jonah went. So first Jonah was sent. He was sent by God. So you might think, well, they're different people. They're not our people. We're the covenant people. But God loves all people. For God so loved the world. Everybody. Even those ones that were their enemies. Even those ones that were so wicked and so violent, as we read later in this chapter. God loves them and longs that they might turn. God has compassion on them, just like he does on us. We were singing before, weren't we? Everyone needs compassion, the kindness of the Saviour. But surely those people over there, they have their own religion. But this is God Almighty, the creator of heavens and the earth. The one who's made those people and given them life and breath and all things, as we read in Acts 17. And God longs that they might change, that they might turn, that they might repent. So Jonah was sent, and then Jonah spoke. And so he obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Whether that's the size or whether that's the culture and how you're meant to visit a city, or whether it's like a Sabbath day's journey across, 3 days of them, to show you the measurements of it. It's an important city. It's a big city. There's a lot of people there. And on the first day, Jonah started into the city and he proclaimed. Now, this word is very specific. In fact, the chapter 3 is very parallel to chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And it was to go to Nineveh, proclaim what I tell them. But it was to preach against it. But it seems at this point, chapter 1, verse 2, because its wickedness has come up before me. So it was to proclaim against it, but now time is running short. We're not told how long it was between chapter 2 and chapter 3. I must confess, when I was little, I had a book of Jonah with pictures. I liked seeing it, and the fish had vomited Jonah up on the beach, and he walked up the beach basically into the city of Nineveh. And he said, I think it's just there. You know, he was taken right there straight away. But in fact, that's not really so likely. It was some commentators, in fact, think that he was taken back to Joppa or near there, so he had to start from where he was before. But news may have spread about Jonah being alive and what had happened to him. But the distance he'd have had to travel maybe took some time. Maybe it was sometime later the word of the Lord came, but when it came, he went and he was told 40 days, and that's his message. Now, whether this was exactly the words he said, and this was the sum total of his message, maybe that is the case. Maybe it's just a summary of what he spoke. We're not told that, but it's quite clear. It's quite straightforward. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Time specific. It's a warning, very clear, very definite. And the word overturned is the word used for Sodom and Gomorrah when they were destroyed by God for their wickedness. But it also has another meaning too, and that's of turning upside down, of changing around. So even while judgment is being proclaimed that this is going to happen, there's the offer of hope and of mercy that it might yet be changed. We see later on that God does have compassion and God does relent. Some old translations put it that God repented. But we often think of repentance in terms of turning from something wrong. God does not do wrong. So in that sense, he doesn't turn from wrong. But it's people that change. I am the Lord, I do not change, he said. But he's just and he's also merciful. And so it's the people who change that God then has compassion on them. But he proclaimed it. He said it. I sometimes think of Jonah and think, well, if he'd just been in a fish, surely the smell would be awful. Maybe the sight would be something to stand back from as well. I remember being in the northeast of Scotland and talking to a man and talking about what he did. And he said, oh, have a guess, what do you think I do? And I said, well, I think you're a fisherman. He said, oh, how do you tell that? I was like, oh, the smell. but, you know, maybe people thought, well, you know, who is it? You know, what's happened to him? Maybe his own personal testimony could be used to point to people God's power. God's power to change his servant around, who'd been running from God, and it took a lot to bring Jonah to repentance, didn't it? The storm, the fish, and even 3 days down there, finally sort of it seems as if he gives up and turns to God. But it's the goodness of God that brought him to repentance. Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 talks about the sign of Jonah. And so you almost think that there is a sign in his life, in what he was. But as Jesus points out, he says in Luke chapter 16, do you remember the story he told about Lazarus? And he said, oh, can you not go and warn my brothers? And he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. So it's the power of the word of God that is sufficient to bring repentance. Because God speaks. God is there with his word, transforming people's hearts and people's lives. The miraculous can seem interesting, can't it? I enjoy hearing stories of people's testimonies of seemingly miraculous things that happen. Indeed, each conversion is a miracle of God's working in somebody's life. But it's the power of the word of God that God is there, and God's changing people's hearts and lives, bringing them to repentance. So we have the word of God. God has spoken. He warns, doesn't he? God is just, and he will judge. We don't know when, but it will happen. But we have a message of mercy and of love to warn people to turn. It says in Deuteronomy, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that you and your household may live. We can turn to the mercy of God and trust him that we can avert the judgment, because the judgment for sin took place on Jesus on the cross of Calvary, that there he was punished for our transgressions. He took the punishment for sin because he died. That's the punishment for sin. On the cross for you and for me. So God is just, sin will be judged. Either by Jesus when he was on the cross, if we trust him, or by ourselves in the future date. And that's a fearful thing. God is just, he will do what he says. But in his love and mercy, he seeks people and asks us to witness to him. You are my witnesses, Jesus said to his followers, to share of his love and of his mercy and of his justice. So Jonah spoke. He spoke God's word. It wasn't Jonah's word. It was God's word through Jonah. You can see that, and the people believed God. Jonah spoke, but the people believed God. And it's important we share the word of God. We know the word of God, we listen to it, we obey it, we put it into practice, and we share it with one another. Because it's the words of eternal life. The words of life. And so then Jonah saw. So he was sent, he spoke, and he saw. What did he see? Well, he saw people. And what were they doing? Well, they believed God, and they had a fast, they didn't eat, and they put on sackcloth. We're not told if Jonah told them what to do. Maybe they just seemed to think this was appropriate response to the message that they had heard. But they sat down in the dust. Even the king. I wonder, could we imagine if the Taoiseach or the president or kings or queens or people in authority of countries would do this? It seems unimaginable, doesn't it, really? Hard to believe. And yet this king did. Humbled himself, took off his royal robes, and repented. They were serious about getting right with God, because they recognized who God is and his power and what was going to happen to them. So they believed God. They even had no food and things for the animals as well, which is an interesting one. But I think it shows the seriousness that the king took the situation. It would affect all of life and all that they had. It wasn't just a little bit here or there they were going to change, but they were going to change completely. Notice how specific they were. They were told to give up their evil ways and their violence. So they were evil in their ways and there was violence. They're known as a very violent, wicked people, very brutal to their enemies. Maybe that's partly why Jonah was afraid to go there or didn't want to go there, that God might be merciful to them. But nobody deserves God's mercy, do we? We don't deserve his love, his forgiveness. We are unworthy, but it shows how amazing his love is, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even for the Jonahs who tried to run away, even for the people of Nineveh who were wicked and violent, but God loves and calls people to repentance. In fact, he commands all people everywhere to repent. The Apostle Paul said, again in Acts 17. And so they were serious. Notice they cried out or called out urgently on God. It's interesting how much it took Jonah to repent, and yet the sailors seemed to repent immediately. And the Ninevites seemed to repent immediately. They're an unlikely people. You may have thought, well, those sailors aren't going to repent. Those Ninevites aren't going to repent. And I must confess, sometimes you find that it's the most unlikely people who seem to be the ones who are being spoken to and called by God. They're the people that we know, friends, neighbours, family, the ones that seem most unlikely. I remember being in Scotland in a place, Falkirk it was, doing some street work at night, and there was a man who was objecting to us being there, quite badly so actually. But then at one point, he just seemed to change. I had a nice conversation with him that went on quite late. So opposed, and yet seemed to be the one who was most open. And they're unlikely, but God is the one who's speaking and drawing them to himself. So they cried out to him. And I wonder, is that a challenge to us? Do we cry out to God for mercy for those around us? Do we really believe? Do we really live out our lives? Do we really tell other people about the love of God? Or maybe we're more like Jonah than we'd like to think and run away. Maybe don't say anything. If God tells us to say something, let's say it. Yes, in a way that's appropriate, that's right, but to share with them the love of God and the words of God. So they changed. They took it seriously. And God had compassion on them. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. That's who he is. Even for people who reject him, run away from him, don't want anything to do with him, he loves, longs that they might change. I remember being in a mission hall, sitting next to a man I was just visiting, and this man was singing the hymns, and afterwards I chatted to him and said, "So how long have you been a Christian?" And he turned to me and said, "I'm not." I was like, "Oh," quite surprised. I was able to ask, why not? But I wonder, we know where we are at. Maybe God was speaking to us, like he spoke to his servant Jonah, and brought him to repentance. It's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that brought the sailors to repentance, that brought the people of Nineveh to repentance. Maybe God's saying to us this morning, yeah, he knows what we're like. He knows what we've done. Maybe the word of the Lord can come to us and say, turn. Turn from your wickedness and turn to him, because we will find him to be merciful and gracious, abounding in love, compassionate, and he wouldn't bring the destruction on them that he had threatened. Because in the Lord Jesus, we know that well, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and that he took the punishment we deserve, that we can be forgiven. God is still just, and so justice was met at the cross of Calvary. God is still merciful, and he offers us forgiveness and eternal life if we will change. So Jonah was sent by God, even though he maybe didn't deserve it. He'd been brought to repentance, to obey God and live for him, even though maybe reluctantly. He spoke the words of God, and he saw that God was compassionate and gracious in response to the repentance of the people. May we pray for one another and for our land, that even such cities as Cork or Dublin, or even the country of Ireland, is not beyond the reach of Almighty God. We're singing about God being mighty to save. He is the Saviour of the world. May we know him as our Saviour and pray that others would too, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Maybe we need to turn back to God. And may we declare that God loves people, but his judgment is coming. But may we be ready to meet him. And we can look to the Lord Jesus, to his life, and see his great salvation, and let the world know that he is mighty to save. Let's pray together, and then I'll hand over to Glenn to finish. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for the life of Jonah. Lord, maybe we are more like him than we'd like to admit. May we not be those who are running from him, from you, but returning to you, that you can take us and use us for your glory, to share your love and your mercy and your forgiveness, warning people of the judgment that is to come, but letting them know that you are mighty to save, to forgive, and to take and to use. And so, Lord, we pray for your word as it's shared through each one of, through our lives, and through the churches up and down this land. And may you speak to people, may you save them, may you change them, I pray, that even the most unlikely would fall at the foot of the cross and know their sins forgiven and trust you. So Lord, we thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Glenn.